This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
I'm Raj V. Subramanian.
And I'm Jason Parrott.
And Jason Parrott is joining us because this is his last week on the job at Tri-States Public Radio after more than a decade and a half with the station. And actually, tomorrow will be your final shift here, Jason.
It will be. It will be the final time I get to sign off for Tri-States Public Radio, and it's kind of crazy to be thinking about that. A little over 16 years ago, I ended up in Keokuk starting off, and then now we reach this day.
Yeah, so we wanted to have you in today to talk about your career at Tri-States, some of the stories you covered, something in particular that perhaps stands out for you.
I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I think some of the most unique things is kind of the opportunity being in Iowa and following the caucuses. This would have been my fifth time covering an Iowa caucus.
You're welcome to come back and cover this one.
Probably be a little busy by that point, but I tried to think the other day. I mean, I've had to have over the years interviewed 50 presidential candidates over the years during five cycles of them coming through and watching it change to where it used to be, where they would come and speak at small events like in Keokuk. I remember seeing Barack Obama standing on a hay rack in an elementary school parking lot in Keokuk, to then just a couple of years ago, you see Donald Trump standing in front of the huge crowd in Burlington at Memorial Auditorium, and how it's just evolved from the smaller events to the bigger events over the years.
Yeah, I remember seeing on, I think, some of your social media feed, just talking about recollecting about your time at Tri-States. And I think I see the picture of you interviewing President or then candidate mm-hmm. Barack Obama. I think John McCain is in there. Mm-hmm. I was just curious, what from those interviews or those encounters, what did you take away, or what are some of the most memorable moments that you've had in your journalistic career here at Tri-States?
I think it would be, I mean, getting to talk to some of these people, the President Obama, John McCain. Chris Christie was a funny one because he was in a rally in Burlington, and he was kind of even combative, and he was at a rally. So it was kind of fun to do those types of interviews. A lot of it, too, is just the events that you cover. I mean, one of the biggest things that we covered here was the idea for all these years of Lee County going from two courthouses to one courthouse and how divisive that was in the community. And I still remember the meetings where there was a lot of angry people. I moderated several of those meetings, and there were a lot of people that I have to admit I was a little taken aback by how angry they were about the whole situation. And so those are some of the things you remember, but you also remember a story I did and a couple of fun stories I did. One of them was I followed around. Fort Madison had a bloodhound mascot. Their school is the Bloodhounds. And the dog had a deformed paw, and they wanted to show other kids, hey, everyone can be different. So I followed the dog for a day and tracked him. A couple of stories that I did, I followed one of the early stories on Quincy's roller derby team, the women's roller derby team. And then another story that actually won a national award was they do an event in Keokuk each year honoring the Civil War. And they brought back soil from other battlefields and laid it in Keokuk to remember soldiers that had died from other states that were buried in Keokuk. So those, as I've been thinking about, those have been some of the ones that have come back to me.
Well, the only national cemetery in Iowa mm-hmm. is in Keokuk.
Yeah, and that, so that's an event they do all the time, and they do different things to try to promote that. And so that was a story. And actually, that was a story. I don't think I talked in the entire story. I just recorded everybody else speaking and did what we call an audio postcard for it. And you could even tell the emotion of the reenactors who had come back because they were from this state and they wanted to honor the men and women who were buried in the cemetery because of that.
Jason, you've been in this field for Tri-State Public Radio for 16 years. I mean, that's a long time. My question would be like, you know, as being a journalist, I mean, we are trying to be a voice for the voiceless.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of a story that you think like, man, you know what, we cover stories mostly because it's covered in the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. But can you recollect any story or share a story where you thought like, man, I made something for some person, or I was a voice for somebody. Can you think of a story that, I mean, of course you've done a lot of stories, but one thing that comes to your mind right now?
I think a lot of it is going to come out of like those meeting stories where I'll be at a meeting and someone will come up and make a, hey, will you consider doing this? Will the city council consider doing that? Keokuk, maybe a couple of years ago, had a woman came in and her dog had been killed by another dog. And she said, hey, you need to do something. There was no punishment that could come for this. They enacted a vicious animal ordinance so that there was at least something that could come of this. And this was just a woman showing up and saying, hey, I need your help. I need you to do this. And they did it. They created an ordinance. They put some teeth into it to make sure that there was more of a penalty so that if that's happened again, they could have that. And it really raised an issue about how animals running loose in Keokuk had become an issue and that they were trying to keep track of it. So it's, I think it might be those types of things where you just have that one person come before a board or a school district and say, hey, I see this as a problem. You talk to them, and then it eventually becomes an issue that they take on. And sometimes it works, too, with politicians, and they'll say, hey, I didn't know that that was an issue. This person, this random Joe Public brings that up to me, and now that's on my radar.
And I would also ask, and to that point, your long time here, you also have the perspective of kind of witnessing our industry has changed, mm-hmm. I think, in that time. Can you maybe speak to those changes that you've observed and what your perceptions are as you leave?
The biggest change that I see, and it's a worry coming up, is the just lack of local news. I mean, there's plenty of places you can get your national news. I mean, you've got NPR, but there's also everyone can go to your mainstream media, your New York Times, your Washington Post, your CNN, MSNBC and such. Mm-hmm. But it's at the local level that's the concern. It's the local level because there's not as many people watching these meetings and going to these meetings. As I mentioned, I couldn't even imagine how many government meetings. I tried to put a guesstimate on it that I've sat through and listened to and watched, and you're always getting and learning what's going on. But as local outlets shrink down and as local newspapers and radio stations and TV, they don't have those reporters there, there's going to be fewer people watching. And 95% of the people aren't always paying attention to what is going on at their local level. They're worried about themselves. They want to, can I put food on the table? Do I have a roof? Do I have these types of things? Okay, I've got those squared away. I'm not paying attention to what the city council is doing. But a lot of times that is what is affecting your life way more than what's going on in Washington, D.C. or even Springfield or Des Moines. It's what's going on at the city council, the school board, the county board.
Well, if you're raising a family, you might be very busy with your children's events, too. Mm-hmm. And as you know from many local government meetings, it's basically the people who serve on that board or council, mm-hmm. and maybe some staff and the reporters. The public doesn't show up for these public meetings very often.
And that's what's disappointing. There are a few. There's a couple of people that come to a lot of city council meetings in Keokuk and a couple of people that come to Lee County Board. But that's it. I mean, they are the ones that are there and they have the time. They make the time to do that. But 95% of the time when an issue comes up, Fort Madison had a contentious issue with the golf carts. And people talked about the community is not behind this proposal. There were 30 people in the room, which was a huge crowd at that time. And one of the aldermen said, well, there's 10,000 people in the city. So we've got this big issue and there's only 30 people showing up at a meeting. There's 9,000 and some that did not. And so it's one of those things. One thing that I have seen and I've noticed it more and I've watched it more, and this is a positive. You're starting to see more governments putting their meetings online. West Burlington City Council streams their meetings on Facebook. The Burlington City Council, Fort Madison City Council both put their meetings online. So even if you can't be there in person, you can go back and watch it. They are doing a better job of putting that opportunity out there. I've been working on the Keokuk City Council for a long time, and I think they're starting to get to that point. They just actually, one of the radio stations there, streamed the meeting the other day. So that's one thing that I could see as a positive, as more and more groups are starting to say, you know what, we're not getting people to these meetings, but at least let's try to bring the meeting to them.
We need to wrap things up here. Thanks for all the great work through the years, Jason, and best of luck to you in the future.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much. It's been an honor to be on the air for this many years and to serve all of you.
Jason will host an afternoon edition for the final time tomorrow. After that, the program will go on hiatus for a while. We're not sure when we will be able to bring back afternoon edition, but we'll try to do so as soon as possible. That, of course, means you will not be able to hear Shop Talk on the radio next week at this time. However, Will and Raj and I will continue to record the program, and it will be available as a podcast on our website at tspr.org. So we're wrapping things up for today. Our listeners can join us again next week on tspr.org for more of Shop Talk.